Good morning, church. This is Catechism 2021, and this is for the 31st Lord's Day. There's a lot of questions with some long answers today, so I'm going to pray and we'll get right into it. Father, we thank you. Thank you for this day that you've given us. Thank you for all the provision that you've made for us, all the good gifts that you've given to us. I pray that you'll stir within us a heart of gratitude and thanksgiving for you, all that you've done and all that you promised to do. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, 31st Lord's Day. Question 85. How does the Lord's Supper differ from the Roman Catholic Mass? In case you didn't know that, they're in Catholic Church and in the Baptist Church, which we are, and some other churches too. They have a different view, a different doctrine of what happens when we celebrate the Lord's Supper. And in the Catholic Church, it's called the Catholic Mass, which is how I grew up. And this is the first question of Lord's Day number 31. What's the difference? What is the difference? The Lord's Supper declares to us that our sins have been completely forgiven through the one sacrifice of Jesus Christ, which he himself finished, that's a key word, finished on the cross once for all. It also declares to us that the Holy Spirit grafts us into Christ, who with our very body is with his very body is now in heaven. That's where Jesus is. That's all that's saying. He's in heaven in a resurrection body at the right hand of the Father, a position of authority, where he wants us to worship him. That's where he is. That's where his body is located. His resurrection body is located in heaven. The Lord's Supper is meant to point us to him. But the Mass teaches that the living and the dead do not have their sins forgiven through the suffering of Christ unless Christ is still offered for them by the priest. So there's an offering that needs to take place each week, and you need to partake in that in order to partake in forgiveness. It also teaches that Christ is bodily present in the form of bread and wine, where Christ is therefore to be worshipped. The Mass therefore denies the sufficiency of the one sacrifice and suffering of Christ, and is to be condemned and rejected for the sake of the gospel. And the Catholics would say that about our doctrine of the Lord's Supper, because it's different. We don't need to be ashamed or afraid to point out there are different beliefs. The belief of the Catholic Mass, where the body is present there, truly in the bread, in the form of the bread, in a supernatural way. We partake of that. We partake of grace. We partake of forgiveness. On the one hand, that's the Catholic Mass doctrine. And the Protestant doctrine, which we call the Baptist doctrine because it's a Baptist church, we are, North Hartford Baptist Church, that it's symbolic and points us to Christ, whose body is in heaven. Of course, his spirit is everywhere, wherever he wants to be. But the issue is his body. So we don't need to be ashamed of pointing out a difference in doctrine, a difference in belief, a difference in worship. It is what it is. That's the difference. Question 86. Who are to come to the Lord's table? Those who are displeased with themselves because of their sins, but who nevertheless trust, there's central word here, trust, that their sins are pardoned and that their continuing weakness is covered by the suffering and death of Christ, and who also desire more and more to strengthen their faith, to lead to a better life. Hypocrites, those who are unrepentant, however, eat and drink judgment upon themselves. That's for believers. Believers who are walking with the Lord should come to the Lord's table. Those who are in fellowship with him, come to feast with him. Question 87. Told you there's a lot of questions with some long answers today, but the cross references are there if you want to go study them. Question 87. Are those who show by what they say and do that they are unbelieving and ungodly to be admitted to the Lord's Supper? No, that would dishonor God's covenant and bring down God's anger upon the entire congregation. Therefore, according to the instruction of Christ and his apostles, the Christian church is duty-bound to exclude such people by the official use of the keys of the kingdom. That's referring to the authority that Christ has given to his church and represented in the leaders of the church until they reform their lives. So the unrepentant should not be admitted to the Lord's Supper. Nope. Here we go. Did not need to flip that page. Question 88. How should the Lord's Supper be concluded? In singing praises to God vocally and audibly for His great benefits and blessings to His church, in the shedding of the most precious blood of His Son to take away their sin. It should be concluded with worship. We respond in worship and praise and adoration. Blessings, here we're picking it up here, blessings that are pointed out in this sacrament, which He just went through here. The great benefits and blessings to His church in the shedding of His most precious blood of His Son to take away their sin. Blessings that are pointed out in the sacrament. So the blessings that are pointed out in the sacrament should invoke in us a heart of worship and praise that should then be expressed in worship and praise. In singing, in other words. Also, we find our Lord and His disciples did conclude this ordinance in singing a hymn or psalm. And if Christ sang, who is going to die, what cause have we to sing for whom He died, that we might not eternally die, but live a spiritual and eternal life with Father, Son, and Spirit in inexpressible glory. It points out this one thing here, that Christ and the disciples did sing a hymn. And then one more thing, he mentions... I'll go ahead and read it. They did that. He was on his way to death. What cause have we to sing for whom He died, that we might not eternally die, but live a spiritual and eternal life with Father, Son, and Spirit in inexpressible glory? So, he's talking about His death, and then why He died. You know, what happens to those for whom He died, that we might not eternally die or have an eternal death, but to have spiritual and eternal life with God. So we should sing. In other words, we should sing. We should respond in praise and worship for all that the Lord's Supper represents. It should be a delight and a joy of our week. Hebrews 7:26, commit to heart, for it was indeed fitting that we should have such a high priest, holy, innocent, unstained, separated from sinners, and exalted above the heavens. All of those things that we are not, that Jesus is. He's the high priest. He made the one offering that takes away our sins. That offering is sufficient. His life offered in death on a cross. He shed His blood for our sins. We come to Him in faith. Our sins are forgiven. And we come and we celebrate with the church the Lord's Supper, reminding us of what He did, of the blessings that are found in Him. And we celebrate together the great blessings of Christ. Father, we thank You. Thank You for Your Son. And thank You for bringing us into fellowship with Yourself through Him. I call down Your blessings upon us, that You would sanctify us, sanctify our minds and our hearts, sanctify our words and our hands and our feet, Father, that we'd live for You, live for Your Son in the power of Your Spirit. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, thanks for joining again. And tomorrow, check out Confession of Faith, week 31, and I'll see you next Sunday for the 32nd Lord's Day. Oh, you get a little preview there. It's already up on your screen. What are the keys of the kingdom? There you go. Well, I guess you could just go rewind the video. Rewind. That's dating myself. You could scroll back on the video and see what the answers were. Just look it up. But that's next week. 32nd Lord's Day. You see you then. God bless you.